you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Briscoe, what do you think?
Who cares?
You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I do think it's hilarious. I bought also, by the way, I'm hearing myself in the return here, which is perfect. I think it's awesome that the day after the Super Bowl, we're all here like, yeah, you know, it's everybody's preseason still. It's the preseason for everybody. No, it's just for all of us. It's just the day after a Super Bowl, and we're all going to feel hungover, even if we aren't. I'm not. I just feel like it.
Yeah, it is. We're all tired. We're now all cranky. We are ready to get this thing moving in the right direction, focusing on the next season. But at least we kind of knew, Josh, that this thing was over pretty early, and you really didn't have to get that invested after halftime.
Yeah, I basically was mentally checking out near the end of the first half. I enjoyed my halftime. And then it was the first time I've watched a Super Bowl, a Chiefs Super Bowl, with my friends at my house. So I was the person who certainly cared the most and knows the most about football of that group. And they kind of just helped keep the mood up despite the actual performance on television being miserable. So, yeah, it I guess maybe will refresh me a little bit as the day goes on. I actually felt okay, like, going to bed last night. I think I woke up in a worse mood than I went to bed with.
I think that's a fair assessment, because I think it, for everything, is like the way that the game played out was like kind of like shock. And then, you know, you kind of go and you're like, oh, well, whatever. Like, the sun will come up tomorrow. And then you wake up and you're like, damn it, that sun came up after all. So, I mean, I feel that, because now you've had time to kind of recap it. You've seen, you know, more and more. But I guess when did you kind of just see that it was like not the Chiefs we've seen?
Oh, boy, that's an interesting cutoff, because that could have been pretty early. I mean, the first two drives felt really bad. And then obviously the pick, and then the pick six, and the pick six was like a the first dagger, I guess. The game wasn't over. It was 17-0. But the second pick, the one deep in their own territory, and needing points there, down 17-0. I didn't tweet it. I didn't say it to anybody in my house, but I had the thought, and I don't even want the receipt because it's miserable, but I had the thought, it feels like there's a better chance that something terrible happens here than that the Chiefs go march down and score. And the very first play of that drive, the Eagles get the ball back, 24-0. At that point, I mean, the game was over. The Chiefs got the ball back one more time before, you know, if they score a touchdown here, they could double dip. No one believed they were going to double dip before and after halftime. They obviously had none of that juice. So that Mahomes pick, first play of that drive, down 17-0, that felt very much like the ball game. I watched the whole thing because I watched 10 games of Brody Croyle in my childhood. So right. I was going to watch the Super Bowl, but it felt more or less over then.
Yeah, it kind of did, and you know, you kind of got that feeling that they weren't going to be able to come back. They just didn't have it. You can recognize that. And the reason I think we're able to recognize that is because it doesn't happen all that often. Like, really, the last time we felt this way was the Tampa Super Bowl. That's the last time you really felt they were overmatched and seemingly underprepared for a football game, and Tampa throttled them. And the same thing happened again last night. It just felt like Philadelphia was more prepared. Nick Sirianni coached better than Andy Reid. Jalen Hurts played better than Patrick Mahomes, and that defensive line clearly played better than our offensive line.
Yeah, I think the two things of those are all true, obviously, but I think the two things that really stand out to me the most is that, one, smoke and mirrors on the left side of the offensive line couldn't make it through Philly. And I think that's even partially Philadelphia having 2 weeks to look at Joe Tooney's pass set. I wish I would have told you guys this on Monday, but I mentioned it with Cody and Gold on Friday, that Josh Sweat and his giant octopus arms, especially versus Joe Tooney, was going to be a huge problem whenever he was up on Tooney. He was also a problem for Juwan Taylor, who I think is generally kind of underrated for this football team. Not a good day for him. Not a good day for really any of those linemen, which we all saw. But to the Tampa point, the biggest difference between this game and the Tampa Super Bowl, and why this is worse to me, is that Patrick Mahomes in the Tampa game, we remember him getting, you know, parallel to the ground and hitting Daryl Williams in the face mask with a football. Patrick Mahomes was doing some absolute Houdini nonsense in that Tampa Bay game. And last night, Mahomes was part of the problem. He was making it worse instead of making it better. And there might be a couple of times in Mahomes' career, the AFC Championship game against the Bengals. I'll tell you this. There are so few instances of that happening that we can name them off the top of our heads. But that's what was happening last night. From the beginning, you could tell he was uncomfortable and he was pressing. And especially earlier in his career, there would be maybe even those first couple of drives where he'd fail a pass or maybe he'd dirt one because he's just a little overwhelmed, a little overhyped for that moment. And that's fine. Like, he obviously found his groove as the game went on. You understand how that happens. He's outrageously competitive, ran a little hot at the beginning of some games. But I didn't expect to see it yesterday, and I certainly didn't expect to see it snowball the way that it did with a really, really rough game from Tooney and Caliendo and, again, Taylor. And Trey Smith was, I think, fine. There was no way I was rewatching that game before I went to bed. So I will rewatch it before tonight's edition of the Josh Briscoe Show. It'll be well-educated and recently rewatched. But it was a miserable game from the O-line, accentuated by a miserable day for Patrick Mahomes. If you would have told me those two things were happening, I could have saved us all some time and money.
When would you have made the change, though, with Joe Tooney and maybe try DJ Humphreys at that tackle position?
Houston. I think that was the only time Andy Reid was ever going to do it. In this game, I would have tried it as soon as the snowballing was evident. But I think after DJ Humphreys was out there and stayed healthy through Week 18, you have a bye week and to make sure he is fully healthy and to begin to work on that in practice. Andy said they were rotating them in practice. I don't know how true that was. But I think the only real chance they had was to get Humphreys back, have him play through Week 18. Not very many snaps next to backups. Not a great day, but he was out there. I think the ceiling play, and I wonder even if they knew they were going to play Philadelphia, would they have done something different? I don't know. Because Tooney held up through those first two games. This isn't an issue of how he performed entirely against Houston and Buffalo. But also, we saw the Chiefs moving a lot quicker and moving against worse defenses, obviously, than what we saw yesterday. So I think that the only real chance for that to happen was against Houston. I didn't think they were even going to do it at halftime yesterday at any point because Andy Reid stuck with this group because it was the thing that was working. I know it wasn't working in the first half, but an in-game move like we saw earlier in the year, I think almost has to come from Mahomes. It has to come from a younger player. At this point, I think when the game started with Tooney at left tackle, he was going to finish it there. Obviously, I guess. That's not great insight. That's what happened, and it was miserable.
Well, Mr. Briscoe, we appreciate the time. You enjoy your show this evening, and we'll see where we go the rest of the season.
Kicks off at 6 tonight. I got 3 hours to talk about this, which is going to be fantastic. Fellas, get back safe. I've really enjoyed hanging out with you on a Monday morning and chatting throughout this season. I wish it would have ended in a more fun way. I would have rather seen you guys at a parade in a couple of days, but yeah. Appreciate getting to chat with you, and hopefully we can touch base a few times this off season. And no, I'm actually not ready to talk about the draft. Don't call me for a little while.
Okay. Yeah, no, we're not quite there. We'll call Binkley for that.
Thanks, JB. We appreciate it. Thanks for everything this year.
Yeah.
That is Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, and it is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue.